Okay, all the kids can disappear if you're between the ages of 4 and 11. Kids Church, if you're visiting, your children are welcome to join them. There's adults that meet with them downstairs. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, and I picked this passage for a couple of reasons. Part of it is we had the gathering of the tribes yesterday. It was a biker motorcycle event, and I don't know if it would have any biker people here this morning, but other than our own group. And also my deep, deep concern that people really don't know the real Jesus. The real Jesus. And Tim's going to come, and he's the secretary of our biker group, the Riders for Christ, and he's going to read from Revelation.
Morning. Revelation 19, starting in verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. This morning I want to use the biker / motorcycle motif in reference to this passage, but my real desire is that we would see the true Jesus, the real Jesus. Now, using this biker motorcycle motif, there are bikers and then there are bikers, okay? There are the moped riders. Y'all know what a moped is, right? You got to kind of pedal it to get going. Some of them, I think they're bikers, but not really, even though they're on two wheels. So there are bikers, and then there are bikers. There's the moped riders, and then there's the one percenters. Let's see. How many of you know what a one percenter is? Okay, a few of you do. A one percenter is a biker that is considered an outlaw motorcycle person, and it goes way back to the late 30s that there was a kind of a bad situation out in California, and Life magazine made bikers look bad. And the American Motorcycle Association came out with the phrase that of all motorcycles, only 1% were outlaws. So if you see 1%, it came because of the American Motorcycle Association said 99% of us are good, 1% are bad. So 1% are outlaw bikers, like, just to give you a framework, Hell's Angels. How many of you have never heard of the Hell's Angels? Okay, maybe some of the younger people might not, but most people have heard of Hell's Angels. Bandidos. We had Jerry Stalker, who rode with us for a number of years. He died a few years ago. He rode with the Bandidos in Louisiana 13 years, an outlaw motorcycle gang. He said he did everything except kill somebody. He carried two 45s, one under each arm, with extra long clips. We were blessed a few years ago. We baptized him at Pat Kiefer's pool. I believe it was at Pat's place. Of course, so there are the moped riders, and then there are the outlaw bikers, the one percenters, and then there are the rest of us, okay, the good guys. So there are true bikers and then there are not real bikers. There is the real true Jesus. So if I were to ask you this morning to describe to me the true Jesus, the real Jesus, how would you do it? Now, you just heard Tim read a passage, so maybe that gave you a little jump start. But without reading that passage and without being familiar with Revelation 19, maybe some people, and I get sick when I hear this, so I hope I don't offend you. Yeah, you know, Jesus, he was that blonde-haired, blue-eyed, nice guy. I don't like to see these paintings of Jesus. I mean, you really want to get me, like, send me something with a painting of Jesus. I go, oh, man. if it's on a Christmas card, do you know what I do to it? I put it on the bottom of the pile, or I might tape it up on a door backwards. Is that nice? Sorry. I'm just being honest, okay? So he's not a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, nice guy. That's not the true Jesus. He's not some little wimpy, good moral philosopher teacher either. I hope that's not how you see him. Revelation 19 describes the real true Jesus if he were to return to earth today. I mean, can you comprehend that? That before we walked out of here, Jesus comes, the trumpet blows, and here's Jesus. Revelation 19 describes the real Jesus. Not, let's go back almost 2,000 years ago, and here's this guy with nice sandals and long hair, and maybe he is blonde and blue-eyed, and he kind of walks around, and he talks real nice, you know. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you all today. I'm glad you could be here for the worship service. And no, that's not the Jesus that's coming back, I'll tell you now. He is a rider who is faithful and true. He is the true rider, the real rider. And again, I'm using the biker mentality, the true biker, if you please. So from Revelation 19, what I want to do is flesh out using these phrases to describe him, the real Jesus, the true rider. That's if we really want to know him and see him, really see him. This is the Jesus that we need to see. So if you've got some kind of Hollywood picture, who was that guy way back in the 50s, early 60s, you know, he was a good-looking Hollywood star, and he played Jesus in some of those early movies, and, I mean, it's like the girls would just swoon over him. No, that's not where we're going here. The real Jesus that's going to return soon, and he's quite alive and well. So get ready, tighten your chin strap, that's for your helmet, okay? You're going to be in for an awesome ride. Let's look at some of these phrases. Here's Jesus that John reveals to us. His eyes are like blazing fire. It is interesting that blazing fire has flames, and that flames somehow seem to show up with bikers and bikes, and yes, hot rods. I like hot rods too, you know. And my bike, my Harley Rocker, you know, which is the greatest bike ever made, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, has flames. You can't see them. They're not real wild flames, but they're there. But it is interesting that flames have this way of showing up with motorcycles. Let me use a phrase here, and again, I hope this doesn't really get anybody upset, but remember the singer Meatloaf? That might date me. I'm way too old, but I only liked one of his songs. Two out of three ain't bad. Very sad song. But he had an album. Anybody remember the album? Dan Murphy probably remembers the album. Some of you remember that. Wow. Bad Out of Hell, yeah. There's a motorcycle rider coming out of hell. And my middle brother, Ron, who died 2 years ago, is a fantastic artist, and he really did airbrush tremendously. If you've never seen my Sportster that's in the garage, I don't take out much. He did a Grim Reaper on the gas tank for me. But he used to do the Bat Out of Hell album on a lot of people's motorcycles and vans and stuff like that. And there's flames. Flames are hot, intense. They can destroy and they can purify. Jesus, the true rider, the real Jesus, has blazing eyes that are intense with purity, with passion, with power. And the book of Revelation uses this fantastic. If you read chapter 1, which we didn't read this morning, there we discover that Jesus, who is God. So don't believe the false teachings that are out there, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, New Age stuff. Just run from that garbage that denies that Jesus is deity and God in the flesh. Revelation chapter 1 says that he is God. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the perfect true man and true God, the perfect God-man. Significant, because he's not some dipstick moral teacher. I picked dipstick on purpose. That was a phrase when I was young. Man, you're just a dipstick, you know. People don't say that anymore. He's not some worthless loser who died for a worthless cause. He possesses all the attributes of deity, of God. Colossians chapter 1 reveals that very powerfully. So his blazing, flaming eyes, they're on you today. He sees you. So he knows you. You can't hide from him. He knows your needs. He knows your hurts. He knows your emptiness. He knows everything about you. And those blazing eyes penetrate to the very depths of you as a person. Certainly those eyes are filled with compassion and love for you, filled with grace. And I'm amazed, just as we are here today, this humble place, that his eyes are on us. His eyes are on me. His eyes are on you. And it's not that he just sees the surface. He sees to the very core of who you are. A second descriptive characteristic here that we find is that on his head are many crowns. Many crowns. Now, using this biker mentality, this biker motif, we live in New Jersey, so this is very important, that bikers have to wear something on their head. What is it? Helmet. Now, I am not a big fan of helmet laws. Sorry. We'll talk about that for lunch sometime, but it's the law. Now, I will confess this. Now, Dan Murphy never had the opportunity to stop me to check me out, but years ago, I wore a novelty helmet. You know, it wasn't a real DOT-approved helmet. Now, I do wear a DOT-approved helmet today. I want you to, okay, Dan? I'm safe. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, Dan knows the secrets. If you go to a vendor at a swap meet or a guy selling helmets that's a novelty that's not DOT approved, they'll sell you or they'll give you a little sticker that says DOT. You just stick it on the back. But cops that know that, they'll check for the manufacturer code and all those kinds of things inside. Well, anyway, bikers wear helmets. Jesus, the true rider, the real Jesus, his helmet, crowns, as many crowns. And only kings wear crowns. Verse 16, which we'll get to in a moment, talks about him being the king of kings. Again, biker language. He is the president. He is the vice president. He's the sergeant at arms. He's the road captain. He's everything. He is the president of all biker groups. He is ruler and authority over all earthly powers. We'll get to that in a few moments. But the question before us is he your king? Is he your president? Is he your sergeant at arms? Is he your road captain? All those have meaning for bikers. President, sergeant at arms enforces the rules. Road captain sets up the course of where the ride's going. Is Jesus setting up the road course for your life? Oh, we desperately need him as our supreme authority, as king. See, life is all about authority. Whose authority will you live under? Will you live under your own authority? It's been said that if you want to teach your kids about authority, they're going to learn at one of three places, either at home, police, or prison. Parents, police, or prison. As the road captain of our life, as the sergeant of arms, as the president, as our king, he knows all about this journey of life that we're on, this life ride that we all are taking. He knows every pothole. He knows every gas station. He knows every turn in the road. We don't need any GPSs. My friend who died and is with the Lord, who died a number of years ago, Bob Mueller, he used to say, heaven for the biker is no potholes and no gas stations. And if you're riding a little Sportster with a peanut tank that holds about a gallon, you understand why the gas stations are so important. But is he the authority in your life? Is he your king? Another descriptive phrase, he has a name written on him. Uh-oh, we're going to really get touchy here, okay? He has a name written on him, and only he knows the name. Now, Jesus was given a name at his physical birth. What was that name? Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, Mary and Joseph, angel, the Lord says he is to be called Jesus, Savior. But you know, Jesus existed before Bethlehem, right? Pre-Bethlehem, Jesus, Old Testament, and before all of creation and all of the universe. And he had a name that only the Father used. And this name is written on him. Now, how do we write names on ourselves? Come on, be honest. Tattoos. Okay. When I was a kid, like 8 or 9 years of age, this was, you know, 50s, early 50s. And we'd get together with some of the guys and we'd find an ink pen. And we used to draw back then military things. And for some reason, I remember drawing on my arm the Navy anchor. Back at 8 or 9 years of age, thinking, well, someday, you know, who knows? And other guys would draw the Marines and some guys, you know, Army, some of the Air Force. But I drew that anchor on my arm. Well, who would know that years later I spent time in the Navy and, sorry, there's a Navy anchor. Now, if you have a better answer, I'm willing to listen to it. But I got this feeling that it might be a tattoo. All bikers, that makes them happy, okay? Jesus had a tattoo. I won't die over that. You know, that's not dogma that I will die for, but it just makes sense to me. So if you got a better one, tell me about it. But we call him Jesus. But there's this other name. And it's like, if I said to you this morning, Harry's going to come and read scripture. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? A couple of you do, because you know his real name. Skip Olnick is Harry Olnick. Still Harry, right? Okay. And if I said, we got this guy that comes to our church and his name's Redneck. you all know who I'm talking about. Most of you do. You know, Thomas Clark. So we've got Jim. We got Jim for James Acker, you know. And so we have names and then there are the real names. Our names come from our parents. Isn't that interesting that we don't name ourselves unless we go some long thing and we get the name changed and so forth. But basically it comes from our parents. All of Jesus' names come from the Father. That's an interesting thought for me. He, the Son of God, sent to earth with a divine purpose and a divine mission, has a name given to him by the Father, Jesus, at Bethlehem, or right pre-Bethlehem, for a divine purpose. So names identify us with our family and identify us with purpose. Jesus' name, Savior, family, the family of God. Is Jesus your Savior today? Are you part of his family? Then a very interesting, which I love this next one, he's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Now, I know if you're an allegorical kind of interpretive Bible person, you want to allegorize that any way you can. I take it literal. Sorry. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. See, these are Jesus's colors. You know, his cut, his vest, be it leather or denim or whatever. Let's see. Jim Everett wore his colors this morning. I know it was really hot, but he had them on, Riders for Christ. See, we have Riders for Christ. We have colors. We have Soldiers of Christ. They have their colors. There are Sons of God have colors, biker groups. Then groups like the One Percenters, the Bandidos, the Outlaws, the Pagans, the Breed, and the famous Hell's Angels with their death head, if you've ever seen that. Colors tell who you are and what you're all about and your allegiance. And in case you don't know this, the bottom rocker, in other words, you got the center colors, then you got the top rocker is your name. The bottom rocker, you know what that signifies? Yeah, it's going to signify that's where you're from, you know. We got Edinburgh Chapel from Hamilton, New Jersey. But it really signifies turf, areas that you control. You got the power there. That's why there's so many turf wars, gangs, One Percenter gangs, Hell's Angels fighting the Outlaws, etc., because they want this turf. Well, here's Jesus, the true rider, that has his colors, his garment dipped in blood. And remember his robe from the crucifixion, blood on his robe. His colors testify to who he is. He is the sacrificial lamb who shed his blood to redeem or buy us out of slavery to sin and eternal separation from God in hell. It's only through Jesus. It's only through Jesus. And there are unbelievable spiritual forces at work today to say, no, it's not just Jesus. Jesus is okay for you, but he's not okay for me. Don't buy that nonsense. Well, I mean, if that's where somebody's at, you have to buy that. But Jesus is the only way. He's not one way of many ways. His colors are dipped in blood. As some outlaw bikers would tell you, it's blood in, blood out. If you want to get out, there's going to be blood. So his robes dipped in blood because he redeemed, he paid the price to set us free from the bondage of sin and damnation. It's all about his blood. You leave out the blood, there's no power and there's no significance. His name is the Word of God, verse 13, another phrase here. If there's any doubt that this true rider is Jesus, this name erases it, erases all doubt. John 1 very clearly tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God. He is God in the flesh. And because he is the Word of God, Jesus is truth. Yes. John 14, 6 tells us that. I've preached on that many, many times. I love to preach on that from at funerals. And if I end up having your funeral, I will probably preach from that. And if you come to my viewing, there won't be a, or my memorial service, because I'm going to be cremated. I hope somebody speaks from John 14. I am the way, Jesus says. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He is our source of truth. It gets down to whose authority are we going to live under, and what becomes the base or the foundation for how we establish truth. Now, I've shared this on numerous occasions, and I need to do it again because I want it so fixed in your mind. It's in reference to truth. The philosophical law of non-contradiction, got that? Says that there are no two presuppositions of opposite meaning can both be true at the same time. Meaning, yesterday at the gathering of tribes, it was either hot or it was snowing. If somebody said it was snowing yesterday, we're going to say that's not truth, because I was out there in that 99 degree weather. There was no snow. Somebody says it's 99 degrees, and somebody says it's snowing. Two presuppositions of equal but opposite meaning cannot both be true at the same time. Got it? It was either hot or it was snowing. Jesus is either truth or he's a lie. He cannot be both. And so when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except through me, that is either true or that is false. As the great writer C.S. Lewis said, he is either the liar, lunatic, or living Lord. You cannot have them all. Another wonderful phrase, the armies of heaven were following him. Jesus, the true rider, has his own army. He has his own biker club. I'm just using that language, okay? The context is very important here, Revelation 19. Where is Jesus going in Revelation 19? He's leaving heaven. He's coming to earth. He's coming to earth. The army, this club, if you please, are all of his followers who have been previously raptured or caught up to meet him in the air. Now they are returning to earth. He's returning. The whole context is that he's going to deal with everyone that has rejected him. And he will establish his kingdom built on righteousness. So it comes down to us today that Jesus will return. You're going to either be with him or you're going to be against him. There is no middle ground. There is no purgatory. I'm saying that on purpose. I just use the word purgatory because there's this concept that somewhere there's this middle ground that everybody goes there, but you're all going to end up with Jesus and you're going to be one of those riders with him coming back. If you're going to purgatory, you're not with him. There is no purgatory. Are you part of Jesus's army? Are you part of his club? Are you riding with Jesus? Then we find this phrase, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. Verse 15 adds, he's going to rule with an iron scepter. Jesus, the true rider, is packing. You know what I mean when I say packing? He doesn't have a Smith & Wesson. He doesn't have a Glock. He doesn't have a ball-peen hammer. Now, why would I say ball-peen hammer? It's the official weapon of Hell's Angels. They're not supposed to carry guns, even though they do. Ball-peen hammers are illegal, okay? So he's not packing that way. He's got a sword. And it's the word of truth that's coming out of his mouth. His word. When Jesus returns, he's coming to wage war and to judge. And he will execute God's wrath on all who have rejected him, all who have rejected God's authority, and all who have tried to usurp that power over the earth. the earth and all of the universe are Jesus's turf. Remember the bottom rocker? You know, Jesus, if he was here today and he had Riders for Christ colors on, you know what the bottom would say? It wouldn't say Hamilton. It would say the universe and all of creation. That's what he controls. So the Hell's Angels and the Pagans and the Banditos and the Outlaws and all the subgroups that support them. Hey, guys, Jesus has final authority over you. Jesus, the true rider, is coming back. He's coming back to take it all back. He's going to establish his kingdom. One more phrase. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. Now, I'm not sure about this being a tattoo, but man, it's written on his thigh. Now, you might stretch it to say it's on his, the garments on his thigh, but I can't quite see that. So it might be another tattoo. I don't know. If you get the insight, let me know. But the name that is there is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is Lord of everything. He's Lord of everything. Is he your Lord? He wants to be. Submit, repent, live for him, trust him, ride with him, ride for him. Is he your Lord? That's what it comes down to. Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord of your personal life? Is he Lord of your future? Is he Lord of your relationships, be it your dating or engaged or married? Is he your Lord of your marriage? Is he Lord of your finances, of your wallet, your pocketbook, your bank account? Is he Lord of all of that? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the true Jesus. This is a Jesus that we're going to see. Not some blonde-haired, blue-eyed, nice little goody-two-shoes, little wimpy teacher. This is the Jesus that we're going to see someday. Will you be one riding with him when he returns? Are you a member of his true club? He seeks to be your king. He wants to be your king and Lord and Savior. He wants to be the president of your life. He wants to be your road captain. He wants to be your sergeant of arms, because all of his so-called rules or principles and teaching are for our absolute best. We're going to close with prayer, but first, I want to give this invitation. And I know there are some people that are not here today. We have a lot of people traveling. But I give this invitation that if you want Jesus to be your king and the Lord of your life, I invite you to come right now. Stand at the front. You've said, I've never done that. I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. Oh, I believe in Jesus, and I know he died on the cross. But I want him to be my king. I want him to be my president. I want him to be the Lord of my life. And I've never done that, Pastor. And I want to do that. I want to make it public today. It doesn't have to be public. You can do that praying in your car or at home, sitting in your sofa at home or somewhere. But you say, Pastor, I want that today. I'll give you a moment, then we're going to pray. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we bow before you. Your love and your grace. Oh, you love us. You see us. You care about us so deeply. Now by your Spirit, woo us to you. Woo us to you. You see that one that's struggling. There's a barrier there. Break that barrier down, Lord Jesus. As we leave this building, let us breathe in your presence, the conscious awareness of your presence. We ask this in your name, our Father, O Lord Jesus. Amen. We're dismissed.